We're recording.
And time is 6:34 PM. The chair calls the committee meeting of Monday, July 7th, 2014 to order. Ms. Davis, could you please call the roll?
Sure. David Holman?
Present.
Mike Gable?
Here.
Leah Blau?
Present.
Greg Retzlaff?
Present.
David Arrington?
Present.
Anita Johnson?
Present.
Aaron Decker?
Here.
Julia Albrecht?
Present.
Brianna Ayers?
Present.
Okay.
Agenda item two, citizen comments. If there are any citizens who wish to address the committee, please come forward, state your name and your address for the record. You have 5 minutes to speak.
You're talking to chairs.
Seeing no citizens, citizen comments are closed. Agenda item three, approval of the minutes of 6/2/14.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gables, second by Supervisor Blau. Any discussion? Youth and governance?
Wait, honestly, I am confused. What? what do you mean?
Oh, motion to approve
of minutes.
To approve the minutes of the previous meeting.
Like to say that they were all okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess they were fine.
I mean, if you weren't here, then, you know, it is what it is. Youth and governance voted.
So aye.
You can say nay if you want to. You can abstain. It's completely up to you. Just with confidence. That's all that matters. Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee should have some confidence too. Agenda item number four, approval of the following county executive appointments. Ms. Sharonda Glass to the Kenosha County Workforce Development Board. Deborah Ford and Lou Molitor to the Kenosha County Workforce Development Board. Charles Burmeister to the Veterans Service Commission, and Mr. John Jansen is the Director of the Department of Human Services. We want to take these individually in groups. What is
I
the
move
committee?
We take them all together.
Okay. It's been a motion and a second.
Who seconded?
Supervisor Blau. Second. Motion by Supervisor Gable, second by Supervisor Blau.
I have a question. Have these people appeared before a different board?
Yes.
And why are we seeing them?
Because as the Human Services Committee, what goes on in Workforce Development Board has a relationship to us. Mr. Bartz is here and can certainly explain a little bit about that if you'd like. And Veterans Service Commission is as well. So they're not quite like subcommittees, but in a way they are, but their role is a little bit different.
The state's up, if I may.
Yeah.
The state sometimes requires that we have boards set up outside of the Human Service Committee that we report to. For example, Doug has to have a Workforce Development Board, a Tri-County Workforce Development Board. We also have a local one. That also requires, through county resolution, that we bring these names before you with the county executive's recommendation for your approval for these folks to either continue sitting on the board or be appointed as new members. So that's what we're here for.
And I think there was only one new member.
Correct, and that's Sharonda Glass.
Do we have a resume for her? Because I don't see it in my packet. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong place.
There was one included.
Yeah. It was there.
It was on the county board agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right here, Sharonda. But it was attached to what I put out there, too.
Yeah, it was.
She's on page 3 in the packet. She's the first one that appears. Okay.
It was in a prior one, but it's not in this one.
My page 3 is the minutes.
Yeah.
None
of the resumes were in this agenda.
No, it's just the resolutions.
Let's see.
My page...
Unless you can tell me where you're seeing it, because I remember from...
The PDF, she starts on 6.
This was one that you sent, that Sharon sent out on the 3rd of July at 4.
Was it in the email?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I downloaded it from the site.
Okay, but it should have been on the web, too, but it wasn't.
I didn't look on the web. I just looked at yours.
Yeah,
your
but
attention.
Everything should be there. Yours, one document.
If you'd like, we can forward it to you now so you've got it.
I got just another question I can ask.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I have a very high respect for Sharonda Glass. I don't know if you people know her very well, but she worked at Kenosha Unified School District, and she's outstanding. I've worked with her before, and I was It's too bad we couldn't talk to her and see, because I'd like to be curious to, what is her position going to be? Exactly, is it on a board, is that what's her job?
She'll be on the Workforce Development Board, and I'm sort of looking at the history of her human resources and the extensive knowledge that she has there, going back to private business as well. To be able to provide some guidance on acceptable practices, and then to also help maybe potentially coach the business service team for the job center.
Okay, that's fine, that's fine. I don't belabor it any longer. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Arrington?
I just wanted to, you know, add input on behalf of Sharonda Glass, seeing as she has been a valuable asset to Kenosha Unified Schools. If my knowledge serves me correct, she is in charge of human services for the entire district. What I read, I've read a woman that was completely overqualified for this position. I think she does us a service to come aboard and to help us to coach on these other people, help get them on board so that they'll understand what it is that they need to be doing to move forward. I would most definitely recommend her for this position. This is an honorable position for her.
There she is.
Actually, here we.
We're just, you know, I take back everything I just said.
You missed it. Everybody's been singing your praise.
Your ears, your nose must have been
itching. Right. Well, I was meeting with board members, so you know how that goes.
If I could
have a number to contact anybody.
If I could, before we continue, welcome Ms. Glass, and thank you.
Thank you.
Do you all who have not received the information with her, the packet with her information, do you have it? Because I just emailed it, I know, to Supervisors Decker and Renslaw. Did anyone else need it? Or do we all have it?
Did you want to look at it?
Okay. I looked at
it. It should be in your email right now, your county email. With that, well, if there are any questions or comments, because we have her in the flesh.
I have a question.
Supervisor Decker.
Is she replacing?
I was just going to bring up that she's replacing Dr. Hancock, because Dr. Hancock is no longer on the workforce board.
Okay, thank you.
You been on the workforce board before?
No.
I have a question. So, what would you be doing for the workforce board? Like, what would be like your, position? Was it said that?
Well, you know what? That's a very good question, because Dr. Manji came to me and said, "Would you like to be on the first work development board?" And I said, "He said, thank you." So there you have it.
That's a good question. The workforce board is advisory for the county of Kenosha, and that is an offshoot of the Tri-County Board. So per the LEO consortium agreement that we have, the local boards control the money that is slotted for that county, the three-county area being Racine, Walworth, and Kenosha. So being a part of this board is advisory to make sure that the services that we're providing are in line with what the community needs for workforce.
Okay.
So there's a huge between education and labor employment, and so that's why, you know, Chancellor Ford's name being Chancellor Parkside is there as well. So
it's a good board. It meets what, once every 2 months?
Once a quarter.
Yeah, we were at the last one.
Supervisor Johnson has the floor.
I just wanted to say I think most of us have heard of you and all of the wonderful things you do. I don't have any questions, but if nobody else does, motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, there's been a motion and second. Youth and Governance?
Aye. Speak up.
Let's try this again.
Are we appointing?
Aye.
All right, here we go. Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Point of order. Yes. Now, we originally, our original motion was to take them all at once.
Yeah.
Did we individualize this motion?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we didn't.
The motion?
No, we didn't.
Mr. Chairman, the motion's still on the floor to lump them all together.
Lump them all together.
That's true, that wasn't voted.
Yeah, we didn't take that.
Okay.
It was made and seconded, and it requires a vote.
Okay. It's up to all of you.
I can make a motion to approve all of them. I don't have a problem.
Well, we have a motion on the floor.
The motion's already been made.
Oh, second.
Yeah. It's been seconded.
Made and
not to approve. That wasn't to approve.
It was to put them all together.
To put them all together.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's put them all together.
So we have to vote on that.
Okay. So, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Me?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
I can ask questions though? No.
Yes.
I was wondering how often you meet. That was one question.
Once a quarter.
Once a quarter.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't be dealing with us.
Oh, I would. Yeah.
No.
Thank you. Thank
I
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
A motion to approve all the above.
Yes, it was.
Second.
Okay, it's been a motion by Supervisor Gable, second by Supervisor Decker, Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting?
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
No, who was that?
That was a motion to approve all the appointments.
The first one was a motion to.
Lump them all together.
Lump them all together.
Okay.
That we don't take them up individually.
The second one was to approve all.
So who moved and seconded to approve them all?
I made the motion.
Second.
Aaron seconded it.
That's right.
Okay.
I thought we let John on too easy.
Thank you.
Run out of here.
Since he's on deck, we can, you know, we might as well since he's here. We don't get to do this very often.
You want a chance?
Yeah, let's borrow.
Hey, John. Go. John.
We were going to grill you.
He's already approved. He's on the door. Run. Run.
But I do have a question.
Sharon will speak for me.
But I do have, we approved you, but I do have a question if that's okay, if the committee would allow me.
Of course.
Waterboarding is fine.
You know, you're very talented and capable and committed and, you know, a really great guy. I'm sort of curious what you see moving down the road, say, 5 years. What are some of the major obstacles our Human Services Department really needs to address?
You know, I think one thing that needs to be looked at just in terms of employment within the county is succession planning, because I have a lot of folks that are thinking about retirement within the next 5 years, and finding capable and able replacements for them will be maybe somewhat challenging. And those are discussions we certainly have had with personnel and how we go about doing that. So that's a priority of mine. Also, I think what you're going to hear from Doug is some very positive news that you're going to see in these maps and keeping that trend going forward. But, you know, we've done a great job during the downturn in the economy of, I think, servicing and meeting the needs of folks in Kenosha County. Through all of our programs. And the philosophy of I've always taken and have passed on is no, we can't do that, but here's an issue. How do we best resolve that? You know, just don't say, no, that's not my job. No, we don't have the funding. No, I can't even get my head around that. But bringing people together that are very creative down at the job center and coming up with different approaches and how you deal with whatever the next thing is that's on your doorstep. So that'll be the continued mantra. I think also working with the state is important and keeping those connections. And as we talk about funding, and we're rolling into the budget season already, it seems like it's year round. But, you know, making sure that we have adequate funding to meet the needs of our citizens and not just rely on county tax dollars, which, as you all know, Human Services has been very good about that. We're the largest department budget, but probably the lowest percentage of tax levy go into our budget because of our ability to bring in state and federal dollars. So continuing that trend moving forward. So those are just a few things.
Is there any way maybe we could get, this could probably be a written document, just sort of a snapshot, a projection of what the retirements look like by division?
Yeah,
job classification?
Sure. I can work with personnel on that, and we can come up with something in the next couple of months.
That'd be awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We don't ever get a chance to do this, so you know.
Yes.
Agenda item. Did anybody have anything else for Mr. Jansen?
He's still a Bear fan.
You're a good man. everybody else is out of their mind.
Yeah, they're just still a good man.
I know what's wrong with these people.
This is going to be a fun team.
Yeah, and honesty is also, and full disclosure is one of my strengths.
Right.
And also the Cubs, if the truth be known.
Oh, that's why I forgave you about the Bears.
Oh, you will wait, it balanced out.
Okay, agenda item 5, Job Center Manager Report. Good evening, Mr. Bartz.
Good evening, sir. For the new Youth and Governance and the new members, I'm Doug Bartz. Job Center Manager and representative on the Tri-County Board for Kenosha County. So I co-direct that with the other two managers from Racine and Walworth.
How long have you been the Job Center? Just so they know.
How long have I been at the job center?
Yeah. As a manager.
Oh, 2.5 years.
So relatively new is what
relatively I new in terms of Kenosha and everybody else who's at the job center, yes. Okay, so we'll start with the unemployment rates for May of 14. It's this handout here, Excel spreadsheet. Continuing the trend downward, you can see Kenosha County's down to 6.1%. We're still in that middle of the pack area. Racine County 7, Walworth County at 5.5. Walworth County is sort of doing their thing right now with the summer and everybody's getting hired and companies can't find enough people to work out there with all the tourism. City of Kenosha stayed about the same. We're down to 6.9. City of Racine still leading the state. And why is it important? We got to compare ourselves to them. So I always throw in the city and the counties that surround us so we know where we're at. You can see that the state of Wisconsin is down to 5.7%. And you know, we're dropping as they're dropping, so that's a good sign still.
I can't believe we're higher than the average. All the business we bring in.
Do these rates include people who have like completely stopped looking for work? Or does it include
No.
No. The rates that you see here, there's U3 and U6. Those are the two types of employment numbers that are kept. So U3 is what you're seeing here. They're easier to understand, but it is not the true unemployment rate. U6 is the more true rate. And it's going to be somewhere around 12 to 13% right now. And so the U3 numbers are people that have looked for work in the last month. Mm-hmm. If you haven't looked for a job in longer than a month, you fall off the books.
Okay. Supervisor Gabe?
Are more people starting to come back? Are you seeing, with the jobs promote coming to Kenosha, are you seeing people that may have not applied last month or kind of dropped off the radar?
A little bit. If you look at the month over numbers on the right, you'll see the county labor force last month was at 87.5 and this month it was at 88.098, so almost 88.1. So you're seeing about a 500 more people sort of coming into that labor force that are interested. As we were talking about before the meeting, though, you can see where the unemployed are. The unemployed are still in the city, 3,500 unemployed in the city of Kenosha still, whereas, you know, out in the county, only about 1,800 unemployed of those that are actually looking. So, you know, when you look at the county without the city, we'd be at 5.1% of unemployment.
Sorry to interrupt if I could. So the column that says labor force is actually our labor force participation rate, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, looking at the numbers, what we're seeing here is that the trends are still going down. Our two highest months for unemployment are February and October. And we were still pretty low in February. So, you know, that sort of brings us to our next map, the map that you see, and most of you have seen already. It's probably at the county board. I wanted to be able to show the job gains and losses because we hear a lot about the companies that are coming, but there's also companies that are closing or leaving. So I wanted to get a net job. Now, this information, the way that Kenosha's growing right now, is already old because there's a couple new businesses that have announced that they're coming that I can't even get on the map fast enough to be able to have updated maps weekly. GIS department helps me make these maps here, and they can't dedicate one person just to work with me on a daily basis. So there's some quick trips and some things like that that are opening that we'll talk about in a minute. But you can see that the growth here is very positive, and the majority of these jobs are yet to be filled. When you look at Meijer, they still only have their starting workforce. They're not at full capacity yet. They won't be probably at full capacity until the Wisconsin stores open, which are slated in starting in about springtime of 15. Mm-hmm. Early spring is when the two first stores will open. That'll be the Oak Creek and Kenosha store. And then the warehouse itself will start picking up as they're shipping to more local stores as well. Kennel Manufacturing. They've actually started hiring if people are willing to drive down into Illinois until they move here. So they've already started. They want to train people. We met with them about, you know, the needs that they have. We're starting to do hiring events and setting up events with them so that we can get people that are willing to drive down to Gurnee now, and then they'll move up here when the company is ready. It's obviously still being built. You know, the Niagara Waters, the Rust-Oleum's, the Gordon Foods, all that stuff is still in process, and we haven't really seen the hiring for that yet.
Let me ask you something, point of order.
Supervisor Arrington.
What do the red dots represent?
The red dots are the development type. It's a new
green means?
Green is an expansion.
Yeah, and orange
is amber. Just hiring.
Okay, so they're in the process of hiring.
Correct.
Because, like, has Amazon, have they broken ground?
Amazon is probably about a little under halfway done.
Okay.
Building.
They want to be up and running before the holiday this Christmas.
We're looking at fall for them opening.
Okay.
And in conjunction with Cabo, we've started talks with them on their hiring needs. Very, very early in that process, though.
You know what I would like to see, too? If you could provide this for me, I would like to see what jobs specifically they're offering in these companies, and I would like to see the starting base pay for these jobs. Are some of them probably are minimum wage, and then I would like to see what positions that they're offering the people here in Kenosha County and surrounding areas.
Can we move into the next segment? Because I think I might be able to answer some of those questions.
Yeah, sure. Most folks still have questions about the map.
Oh, of course.
Oh, go ahead.
How do you get your closing number or your losses? Because I know, like, a business closed in Bristol that isn't on here, or laid off. Beauty View.
Bristol. Do you know how many employees they have? The state has a standard that says if you're laying off 50 or more employees, you have to notify in a WARN notice the local elected official and the state of Wisconsin per state and federal law.
They might not have had 50 employees anymore.
So when there's a mass closing, I get a letter from the state and usually from the county exec's office because they get it first. And then
but that's
actually,
only if it's 50 or more.
Yes. And then myself and my team go and meet with the company to tell them about services. And okay. We get special funding for that.
Okay.
Any other questions about the map?
Okay, so I'd like to bring your attention to the PowerPoint that I provided them. And I think this is where we'll get into some of that stuff you're asking about, Supervisor Arrington. We wanted to show that we have these initial new jobs, but because of all this business and hustle and all these companies that are coming to Kenosha, it creates more than just these things that you see. So you'll see some major employers here on the left. Now, one of these employers, UNFI, is actually a Racine employer. But if for most of you that are familiar with the area, and I know you all are, it is on Highway 11 and County H. So that's literally right in our backyard. So we do have a lot of people that are going to UNFI and working. So we included them on these numbers. You can see that we have a little over 3,600 new jobs just by those companies alone. That's not including a lot of the smaller companies that you saw on the map. And then look at the additional jobs that will create, almost another 2,200 jobs for a total of almost 6,000 jobs. And you can see the multipliers on here. The multipliers are based on median salaries. So not average salaries, but median salaries. And so you can see that Uline, for every person they hire, it creates 2.04 more jobs. A company like Meijer, where their pay is probably going to be a little bit less, for every new employee, it creates 0.63 new jobs. And then you'll see that there's some statuses on here on the completions on the right-hand column. Pending any construction setbacks, those are the time frames that they're looking at. If you turn to page 2, you'll sort of see where these new jobs are. So you have your initial jobs in the orange. In the blue, you have your supply chain first ripple jobs. So these are going to be your delivery truck drivers, those types of things. Then you have your supply chain second ripple jobs, you know, gas companies, those types of things that might have that, where they're supplying goods for the hauling to get it there. But then you look at where the biggest area is going to be, and that's the paycheck-induced jobs. Now, so that's where you have all these people that are going to be making money now, and they need to be able to spend it somewhere. So you're going to have restaurants, retail, those types of growth. So that's your paycheck-induced jobs. Now, you wanted to see what industry, occupation, jobs, titles, and wages. That'll be the next 3 pages. And that's broken down by the same cluster, your initial, first, second, and paycheck-induced jobs. And you'll be able to see where the growth is by industry on the first page. And it's about where you would expect it to be. You know, people need services, they need food services, entertainment, healthcare, all those types of things for all these ancillary jobs. If you look at the page 4, you're getting the new jobs by occupation. So you're diving in a little bit deeper. The transportation is big, and I know I've told this committee before that area, that transportation, material moving, warehousing is growing by almost 25% over the next 5 years. So that's, besides healthcare, that's going to be the future for us.
Can I ask a question through the chair?
Supervisor Arrington.
How much does that pay?
For the general transportation
material moving? No, transport and material moving.
Hourly? Yes, it is hourly, and it's around a little over $11 an hour.
Okay. That's what I'm looking for.
It'll be on the next page.
So, yeah, okay. Just so the committee's aware, on the left-hand side, when you see sort of those, I don't know what we call them, areas, sectors.
Occupational categories.
Thank you. Occupational categories. There are actually number codes associated with each of those and even sort of sub-classifications within those that are connected to salary ranges and hourly pay structures so that you can actually look at it and say, all right, so if we're bringing in this many folks at this job, this is what the pay would be nationally, this is what it would be statewide, this is what it would be for our 3-county region for our workforce development area, because that's the way that we do the data for the workforce development area. 7?
It's the M7 area.
Not
and
3?
I didn't mean to correct you, but the lowest they get is by the M7 area.
Really?
Correct.
Did we ever do it by the 3-county region?
I don't believe it.
Okay. I'll have to go back and look. All right. Sorry. Please continue.
Okay. Well, like Supervisor Holman was stating that mm-hmm. on this last page, when you're looking at the wages, they take these wages in comparison from other companies that do the same thing in the Southeast Wisconsin region, and that's the M7 region. For those of you that aren't familiar with the M7, it's our 3 counties, Walworth, Racine, Kenosha, WOW, which is Washington, Ozaukee,
Waukesha,
and then Milwaukee, which is the largest employer of the 3 counties. So these wages here, when you look at this and you see that laborers and material movers are at the average of $11.03 an hour, mm-hmm. when Meyer came in and hired, Meyer was just over $12 an hour. So they're actually paying a little bit more than the averages in this area. And that's, I think that's sort of going to be a trend with the companies that are moving here, simply for the fact that they're competing against one another to hire people. So that's going to cause them to have to raise their wages a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where we might not see that is Amazon.
Okay.
Amazon will probably be right around this average. So there is more in-depth reporting available on this that breaks down some of this by demographics, where they think these hires will be as far as age ranges, ethnicities, races, those types of things. It's a very, very extensive report. that comes out of software that we do not have in the county. The state actually goes outside of even their own software to pull those numbers for me.
Supervisor Johnson?
I'm just wondering, how do you decide which neighboring business to include? Like, for example, Abbott just had a layoff a couple weeks ago, and I know that many of our residents are employed by Abbott and other companies that are nearby but not in Kenosha County. So how do you decide which ones to include? And do we know if Abbott, how big we were affected by Abbott's last layoff? How much we were affected?
That's hard to tell. We'd have to bring in some forecasting software. Illinois is a little bit less than forthcoming with information to us.
Okay.
So they don't have the same system. And we actually have another company called Graphics down in McHenry that's closing. And we know that that affects about 500 people. And we're trying to even get a count from them because I personally know somebody that lives in Salem that works there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I found out about the closing before it hit the papers. But Illinois has not provided us information on how many of those are Wisconsin residents.
It has to be very convoluted. I know because there's most of the people I know work out of town.
And then the second part of that is Supervisor Holman was talking about the Nexus codes, which are the numbers. That's how they come up with these numbers because companies are a number. So they have like a 6 or 7 digit number with an extension.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, laborers and material movers is one of those numbers. So they pull all companies that report jobs under that number. So we don't get to arbitrarily pick that. It's all done by that system.
And I think the State Office of Economic Advisors does do it by our 3-county region for WDA, because I've seen stuff for it. Actually, I pulled up some of it now. Some of the projections, both in terms of salaries as well as employment numbers.
Correct.
But those trends look like. But it doesn't correspond to this?
It doesn't correspond to this,
really?
Because if you look at the source of this information, it's EMSI.
Okay. They're not working with the same stuff?
No. Everybody uses different stuff. And Office of Economic Advisors right now does not have EMSI, so Wandy has to go outside of her office to get them.
Ooh, nice. Okay. Cool. Supervisor Arrington.
What I wanted to suggest, the information is invaluable. I love it. If it'd be all right, Mr. Chairman, have him come back in September, and we'll have, June, July, and August, so that we can see some more of this additional data as it progresses here in the county. What is our intention?
Would that work for you, Mr. idea. Bartz? Is there the possibility of maybe sooner, or does that seem like a good fit?
I think it'll give us a better indication if we wait until September, and we can get closer to some of the dates of these buildings and seeing if construction's on schedule. But what I can also do is then try to see if Wandy's available to actually come and give a better breakdown of those numbers.
I'm trying to contain my glee.
My thing is because with Abbott, I'd like to see how long, because I don't know how many people were commuting from the southeast part of Wisconsin to Abbott.
We have thousands of people.
So I'd be interested to see whether or not they were able to pick that back. Yeah, were they able to pick that up, or will they become a part of this population and generate a new percentage of unemployment? And it's important for us to know. I guess for the group, briefly, I always ask, and I'm glad that you shared the information. I didn't want to step ahead of you here, and I didn't realize your salaries are back here. Because what we're facing here in Wisconsin, I feel that, you know, one of my pet peeves when I talk to my constituents in my area, it's important that we, I've stayed on the county board floor, that our people are not for sale, and that our people receive the wages that I feel they deserve, is along with everyone else in this entire country. That, you know, Wisconsin, you see an opportunity to create jobs here in southeast Wisconsin. Basically, our people, they're not going to be paid less. So I'm taking a active role in monitoring that to make sure that they are able to earn a good wage and have a good job and be able to create the kind of living and standard that they want and move on forward. So that if people are wondering why I ask so many questions about this, it's a passion of mine. You know, I'm not seeing a lot of fairness lately, and I just wanted to get involved with that. I thank you for your breakdown. Yeah, I definitely want to see this again in September. because it's going to be important with some of the decisions we have to make later on in this year.
And there's another document that he shared with me that really breaks down for particularly the really major companies.
Send it to
that me. Explains a lot of that. So yeah, I can forward you that. Supervisor Decker,
and I'll forward it to Sharon, and Sharon can shoot it out to the whole committee. Yeah.
That works too.
With the some of the unemployment benefits falling off, are we going to see a jump in numbers somewhere or anything like that because of that?
You know, I think we've already realized those numbers, okay. Because that dump off of UI extended benefits happened December 31st of last year.
And those are
already in here.
Okay.
And what we're finding with a lot of that is that, like, when SuperValu announced that they were closing, I was contacted that week by 5 companies that were hiring people with those skill sets. So what we're finding was a lot of movement, and we're serving less people with the special response grant.
Good. I just know that our little shop of 6 is having a hard time finding employees. So people come in, apply, won't call back when you ask them for an interview. So
I'd be more than happy to set you up with the business service team.
That would be wonderful.
That's what we have the team for, to do recruitments.
Okay.
And one final, I want to, if you could set this up, I might be pushing my power. We've made so much stir about Amazon. You think you can arrange us a tour of the Amazon facility when it's completed? I would like to walk through the mighty Amazon. We've heard so much about it. I got to go through there. I have to see.
Take a day.
If I'm serious, man, is it going to be laced in a gold road or what is it? Willy Wonka, whatever it is.
You have to get a golden ticket.
Exactly.
First.
I want to go see Amazon.
I can make that ask of Amazon, and I know that Meijer has also extended that invitation.
I want to go see them too.
Gordon's Food, when they opened up, had a big open house and had us all out there. In fact,
if the committee wants something a little more intimate and tailored so that they can feel free to ask questions, I think that if we could do that, that would be great.
I want to go.
Supervisor Johnson?
I just wanted to point out that, you know, as a county, I think we are doing something very good through CAVA with the high impact funds, because we're giving companies incentives to come in, and they're obligated to pay their employees $15 an hour or more. So as the county, we are, you know, encouraging that.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Supervisor Wessler?
Thank you, Chairman. Just there's a couple ways to look at this. There's a lot of positive things here. I think it's heavily, our areas, because of its location, space, it's obviously warehousing kind of industries. I mean, that's the leader of that. That is somewhat subject to economic issues. That comes and goes as economy floats a little bit. That's not helpful, can't be helped all the time. But I think Anita said it with the high impact fund is getting jobs that maybe aren't that so much oriented that way. I mean, like Kennel is an extremely impressive company. I went to their grand opening thing that they had, and I was totally impressed. And for your constituents, 600 jobs, they got to go to Gateway and learn that profession. They're going to get a $40,000 a year job from Kennel if they want it. And Gateway is 100% on board with that, to teach them to do that high-tech LED lighting stuff. And if more of those come, we have to have a commitment from the people that want these jobs. That they're going to get a high-paying job nowadays, you got to learn something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to be a laborer at $11.03 an hour, I guess, but that's $23,000 a year. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, what are you going to do with $23,000 a year for the rest of your life? Not much. But if you go to Kennel and start at 40 and move, think, you know what I'm saying? The point I'm making is that high impact fund will have, I think, a bigger impact on this in the future than some of the other things. Just a comment. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And that goes to what I really wanted to ask about, which is training. You know, initially when we were recruiting to bring companies here, they were bringing existing workforce and just moving from one side of the street to the other in terms of the state line. Now we've got new spots opening up. So in terms of training, because I know we get some state and some federal money to do some of these things, I mean, what does that relationship look like? I know you're talking to Gateway, you're talking to Parkside.
I think we do more than just talk. When we met with Kenall about a week and a half ago, it was Gateway, myself, Cava, and Kenall sitting at over at Cava's offices. So we're fully aware of the need for some things that we've seen that are coming and where we're predicting shortages. We've already started training programs. CNC boot camp has been running for a couple years now because we saw that coming. We haven't done too much of the welding and fabrication because those companies aren't coming, but we did start doing CDLA boot camps now. So we have people getting their CDLs because there's a huge shortage of truck drivers in this area. And then into more of the telecommunication things, some more of the tech things. We have a boot camp starting in, I want to say, a month and a half, and we're recruiting for that right now. So we're trying to address those needs. We can only do so much. Gateway has limited space, limited facilities. They're the ones that are best set up to do the short-term boot camp type trainings. And for those that don't know, the boot camps are truly a boot camp. They go to school for anywhere between 16 weeks, I think, is the shortest one at CNC. This telecom one is going to be somewhere around 22 to 24 weeks. It's 8 hours a day, every day. If you're a minute late, you are, that's an unexcused absence. I mean, you're still going to sit in class, but that's how strict we are. And so we're putting about 20 people through at a pop on those.
And I...
Supervisor Decker.
Is that something that's paid for by the company? Because I'm assuming the employee or hopeful employee isn't paying for that, or are they?
All of the funding for that is through the workforce board.
Okay, so it's not the employee is going is.
There's no onus on the employee at all. There's other grants, fast forward grants, that are available for companies to be able to do that, and we can also do customized training as well. So if a company is involved and they're willing to put up 50% of the training funds, the workforce board can put the other 50% up. So if they want That's it awesome. Just for their company. Okay. So we have several things we can do to help with that.
Awesome. I thought about going to Kenny.
Supervisor Johnson.
Costco's coming to Pleasant Prairie. How many employees do you think a Costco would bring?
I think that's going to bring more than the retail Meijer is bringing. They're bringing about 300. We haven't started talks with them for that yet, though.
Those are over 40,000 on average, an employee at Costco. And their revenues were better than
the
Sam's Club.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
$40,000 a year is their average. So it'll be a good job, good quality jobs for the residents.
I've heard 45,000.
It's a good job.
One of the things that I'll just comment on quickly, and you know, this goes back to Supervisor Ressler said, is that you know, a lot of this is in transportation logistics, which is fine, but you don't want to be too heavily rooted in one sector, because that leaves you vulnerable when things ebb and flow. And it's been interesting to go to NACO and listen to the counties that have talked about what they've been doing in technology. And how that's changed different folks who maybe had technology startups, or even in some cases major tech companies who said, oh, your public officials are doing that? Then maybe we want to be in your community, to see that as a form of commitment. And so it would be nice for us as Kenosha if maybe we could begin to move in that direction, because I'll be honest, I feel like in some ways we're a little behind on that front.
About that, are you doing anything to attract those kinds of jobs to Kenosha County, the technology-based jobs? It seems like that's where the trend seems to be going, as far as trying to train, you know, kids who are graduating from high school, moving on to college, those STEM careers.
The STEM careers are big. As the workforce board, our task is to work with the companies once they're here to help them meet their hiring needs. As far as doing the attraction of what's coming to this area, that's Cava's role. So I don't have anything to do with actually attracting the businesses here. I'm just here to help them once they're here.
Yeah, and from the technology side, I mean, there are things that we can do that make us look attractive to folks that, you know, want to do that. That maybe say I've got four or five folks, you just hosted something for app developers and what they can do in terms of public information systems, yeah, maybe we want to be in your community. We want to take a look and see what's available. So there's some things that we can do from a leadership standpoint that make us look good that we're not doing. Sorry, that was my irritated face. I'll leave that alone. Any other questions?
For the like training boot camps that you do for the jobs, are they guaranteed the job once they finish?
No. There is no guarantee because we don't have companies that are sponsoring the employees through. I can tell you that we have a 95% placement rate out of those boot camps, though, because local companies that are looking for them. I'd say almost 90% of the 95% that actually get hired are local. Bradshaw Medical, Generac, several companies in Racine come to every single graduation, and we give out the local companies first interviews. So we set up mock interviews the last 3 days of class, and we tell the trainees that they're mock interviews, but they're real interviews, and the companies are interviewing, and most of our hires happen before graduation even happens.
If I could, to that point, what sort of statistics do we have on folks going through some of those boot camps in terms of placement? And I ask that because I know Todd Battle was in this very room and talking about the CNC boot camp that we have and said, you know, we have this chunk of people who come in, some of them make it through the training, but they have to have clean backgrounds. And Terry Rose pushed back on him and said, you know, I understand that, but the letter of the law dictates that they can be hired as long as the job they're being hired for does not relate to the felony. And the example he gave was that a person who robbed a bank could not be a bank teller, but they could certainly be a school janitor. And there was a little bit of give and take towards the end of that conversation. So I'm curious as to what our, you know, what stats we have as far as placement, as to whether or not that issue has somewhat been addressed since Supervisor Rose raised it.
The training itself is open to residents from all three counties because it's money through the workforce board, the bigger, larger tri-county board. I know that Kenosha typically gets about 5 or 6 slots, and we interview every candidate and do put people into the training that might not have the greatest backgrounds. And like I said, we have a 95% placement rate through the CNC boot camp. Like you said, it really depends on the charges that the people have. But the onus is on the person to complete the training, not on us to tell them they have to complete it. They have to want to do it. And if they want to do it, they will do it. Those that don't want to do it, they rarely show up to take the screening process.
The screening process at the beginning?
Yes.
So, sorry, you're not taking in 6, and then 4 of them drop out halfway through, and then you're saying 95% of them are placed, so you're counting that 2.
No.
So basically you're saying all 6 are making it through, and they've dropped out before they even started.
Every class starts with between 20 and 22, and typically 2 people are lost through the process.
They can't sit there.
Actually, that really hasn't been the problem, not getting there. We provide transportation. We give people money for gas, bus tickets, whatever they need to help them get there.
People don't show up. There's always going to be a few. Yeah, that percentage that just doesn't want it isn't going to work for it.
Well, there's some people that come in and they're gung-ho about it, and then after a week of class, they're like, no way. Well, a week of class, if you were to think about a normal college schedule, wouldn't be bad if you wanted to start. But being this is a boot camp, a week of class, you can't throw somebody in and expect them to make up that entire week. That's 40 hours.
Supervisor Arrington?
How much gas money are you all giving these people?
I can answer that. It's based on mileage. We have a policy that was approved by the state. If you are traveling less than 20 miles a day, we're giving them like $25 a week.
Only reason why I'm asking is because this is my ammunition. When I talk to people that talk about they're looking for work, I can tell them about these boot camps and different opportunities. They're out there, and I'm like, they even provide, don't tell me you can't get there, because they're providing bus tickets and tokens and gas fare. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, we will, you know? I mean, if obviously, if they can get there via bus, we'll give them passes or tokens. If they have a vehicle, they have to provide us information that shows it is a legally registered and insured vehicle. If they need help with that, I have funding that can help with that. I mean, there's really no excuse.
To register the vehicle?
Yes. My funding allows me to pay fees. I cannot pay fines. And if I've had people come in that don't, like, they need an assessment, the alcohol assessment. I've paid for the assessment, help them get their license back, pay those fees. I just cannot pay a fine.
That's excellent information. Thank you.
I think Supervisor Arrington may want to talk to you about some sort of recruitment program for his district.
Hey.
Anytime.
You know, I'm not ashamed of the district I represent. There's lots of people down there that need an opportunity to work, and they don't get the connections. Some of them don't read the newspapers, and they're not connected like they should be. So a lot of things travel better through the word of mouth and the one-on-one conversations with the parents in the schools and things of that nature. That's good information to have, though, because there's one in particular person. I'm going to call her tonight and tell her there's opportunities.
You wouldn't be the only person having that conversation with Mr. Bartz for your constituents, trust me.
Exactly.
Last but not least, and I hope you don't mind, I have one more map. This one I can't hand out individually. But if you take a look at it, and I'll leave it on the table so you can for a little bit. I made a map with GIS of Kenosha's largest employers and where they're located. Again, the circles all have representation of what they are, but it's size of company. This is going to be changing rather quickly once some of these newer companies open, so this is a work in progress. And we've actually found a company or two that got missed or have come to me and said, my company's not on there, why? So we have some work to do, but we have an intern at CABA that's working on this right now. This is a very early, and once we have this done, I hope to be able to provide more copies to people.
I hope not that big.
Not this big at all, but the list can be done. So I will leave this here for people who can't. I'm sorry for your questions.
Oh, no, man.
So what we really need on our website, what we really need, well, we don't have it, and we may, I don't know, is we really need an interactive feature so that people can see this. The DOE, you're looking at me like, don't say this, Hallman.
No, I can actually say GIS is working on it already.
Oh, they are? Okay. Because there's a great thing from, I think, the Department of Energy about federal grants they give out. You move the mouse over the little bubble, and it shows this is what the project is, this is the economic impact, et cetera. You know, we had something like that for this, that would be fantastic. It's kind of cutting edge.
It's a slow process, but it is being worked on right now.
We might be able to find some people to help with that. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Bartz while he's present? If not, we know how to find you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice to know you.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got some people that need to go to the boot camp.
You do? Any other business allowed by law? I don't believe there's anything.
No, I'm going to contact you.
Committee member comments? Supervisor Green?
If you guys looked, they had dug, I already got about three of these ears. Matter of fact, I put you in my phone. If you looked at the map that Doug handed out, the glaring error that we saw at workforce development was transportation. The buses don't go there.
Transportation.
So, this is an issue. I'm working with some other people. You can have all the jobs in the world you want, and if they all live in the city and all the jobs are out of 994 corridor and out, bus service only, Amazon, 24/7 operation. Buses run till dawn or dusk, 6 or 7 o'clock. What do you do with second and third shift? Transportation is going to be a problem. It's going to be an issue. And we're going to have to deal with it.
Committee member comments? It's not debate. Committee member comments? Supervisor Retzler?
No, I have no comments.
I mean, if you can debate them in comments, go
no,
for
no,
it.
No. I don't. No, something different.
All right. Anybody, anything else?
Motion to adjourn. Is that on the agenda?
Second.
Where we're at. Sorry.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Johnson. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Oh, I got one.
I don't know if you want them, but if you...